The Acca Cracker with Paddy Power. Get money back as a free bet if one leg of your 4+ fold Acca lets you down. On all football matches and all markets. Paddy Power. Pre-match only. Max free bet £10. Excludes enhanced match odds. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and a warm welcome back to the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. Just one weekend of EFL action left, but the Premier League roars on. And to preview all of the action today, I'm joined with Racing Post sport journalist Dan Childs and Jack Ogilby, as well as Johnny Smith from our sponsors Paddy Power. Lots to get through as always. The action starts on Friday night at 8 o'clock. It's Leicester against Newcastle. And Johnny, take us away with the prices and your selection.
Yeah, we've got Leicester at 4-11, 7-2 the draw, and 7-1 Newcastle. For me, I think it's a must-win game for Leicester. I'm going to go Leicester win and be in for me and Acho to score any time. They need to obviously try and win to get into the Champions League for next season. Last week's 1-1 draw against Southampton could come back to haunt them. Southampton obviously were down to 10 men. And Leicester battered them really for 80 minutes of that match. Looking at Leicester's running as well, they've got a pretty tricky few games. And against sort of Man United, Tottenham, and I think Chelsea coming up. So it's not going to be easy for Leicester. So this is a game that Brendan Rodgers will target. And Ian Acho has been on flying form for me. He's been sort of a revelation and taken a bit of the reliance off of Jamie Vardy this season, which has been good for Leicester. And Newcastle, it's a tough one for them on the road, and I just think they're lacking that cutting edge up front for me against what has been probably a resolute Leicester defence. So I'm going to go for Leicester winning Ian Acho to score any time.
Johnny, have you got the top four markets to hand?
Yeah, 2 seconds. Yeah. Top four.
Go on.
Sure. Wise, we've got Leicester at 2-7, Chelsea 1-3, Liverpool 2-1, West Ham 4s, Tottenham 17-2, and Everton 200s.
Yeah, Dan. I mean, although the market doesn't, sound too exciting, if you look at the table, there's still a lot to play for, isn't there?
Yeah, I think it's actually really exciting because the teams, although there's a bit of a gap there, you know, Leicester and Chelsea have got sort of like points in the bag, if you like. Their run-ins are pretty scary, really. I mean, Chelsea have got the trip to Manchester City, got Arsenal at home to come as well, Leicester at home. Leicester have got to go to Chelsea and Manchester United and then finish off at home to Spurs. So, and when you think Leicester had that collapse at the end of last season, lost 3 out of the last 4 games and missed out, there's about to be a few, mental sort of, worries, thinking, oh, here we go again, kind of thing from Leicester's point of view. I agree with Johnny. This is a big, big game for Leicester. A lot of pressure on it. I do think they'll get the win. I'm not so sure about 4-7, piling in, those odds. But just to beef up the price a bit, Leicester and under 3.5 goals for me around evens looks a good bet. I mean, Newcastle generally do set up in these away games to try and be tough to beat, don't they, under Steve Bruce? They have been quite tough to beat, recently. Before the Arsenal game, they've gone 4 games unbeaten. That included the 2-2 draw with Spurs, 1-1 draw with Liverpool, the wins over West Ham and Burnley. So they've had, quite good form. But that Arsenal performance was a worry for me. I mean, Arsenal kind of concentrating on the Europa League and still ran out comfortable 2-0 winners at Newcastle. There is a gulf between these teams. You've got to remember, there's 27 points between Leicester and Newcastle in the league. I do think Leicester will get the win, but I think a bit like that Palace game recently, they had to grind it out, came from behind to win 2-1. Wasn't a lot in the game. I think this could be something similar here. So Leicester to win and under 3.5 goals.
Yeah, Jack, I suspect that Leicester will be a popular pick amongst punters, but certainly for Ackers this weekend. Would you be putting people off Leicester or not?
I don't think so. Pretty much on the evidence of how bad I thought Newcastle were against Arsenal. A lot of people were talking up in the week because of, like Dan said, Arsenal, all their eggs are in the Europa League basket, aren't they? But Newcastle just didn't seem to turn up that day. Leicester, it was a bit of a worry, I thought, the 1-0 draw against Southampton, especially against the 10 men, but they played quite well and just couldn't get the breakthrough. They've won the last 3 meetings between these two sides. It's tough to ignore Leicester. Ian Acho, 12 in his last 10. He's on fabulous form. For me, it would be Leicester to win 2-0. I just don't see Newcastle test them. They've got Callum Wilson and Alan Sam Maximum back, yes, but I don't know, just their performance last week was so underwhelming. I think Leicester, although it won't be pretty, they'll grind it out.
Yeah, Leicester, confidence from the panel on the Friday night fixture. Let's move into Saturday then, 12:30 PM sees Leeds taking on Tottenham. This one on BT Sport. Johnny, we'll start with you. Leeds, the home side, but a disappointing display against Brighton last time out.
Yeah, it was very disappointing. I mean, we were underwhelming. And I just think it had that typical end of season feel to it, did the game. And Brighton at Allen Road earlier on in the season did stifle Leeds a lot and made it quite physical. And Leeds got into a battle, which again, they did last weekend to a degree. They moved the ball and had plenty of it, but just didn't have that lacking edge, that cutting edge up front for me. And that's been Leeds' downfall this year. And for me, you know, we got Leeds at 5-2, 11-4 the draw, and 19-20 Spurs. I think for me, probably at the prices, Tottenham might be a little bit of value here, given the fact that I think Chelsea went off and Liverpool went off at 4-6 Elland Road. I'd probably have Tottenham. If Tottenham were more 4-5, I think I'd probably stay clear of them. But at 19-20 in and around that evens mark, I'd probably be likely to back Spurs here. I just think that Tottenham has something to prove. And I think Leeds, it's been a long year for them in terms of last year from the back end of the Championship season into this season. It's been a bit unrelenting for Leeds. And Spurs will be looking to try and finish the season on a high and try and get into that top six and just try and sort of solidify a potential Europa League place if they can. And I just think, yeah, I think they probably represent the value here to Tottenham for this one.
Dan, would you feel comfortable backing Spurs here?
Not odds on, no. I mean, Leeds, I think that the thing with this game is that, I mean, at his press conference, Marcelo Bielsa, this morning, he didn't reveal whether or not Calvin Phillips or Rafinha would be fit for the game. He said that, you know, they were facing sort of going to be assessed, facing late fitness tests. Now, for me, trying to decide, you know, what's the bet when you don't know. I mean, they're probably two of Leeds' most three influential players. I mean, I'm including Manford, but Calvin Phillips and Rafinha are massive players now for Leeds. You know, if they both start and they're fit, then you could imagine a Leeds performance, you know, way superior to what they produced at Brighton. They were poor at Brighton, but you got to remember, previous to that, they went six games unbeaten, which is their longest unbeaten run of the season. So they're not a team to be this much lightly. Spurs, you know, okay, they've responded to that. I thought they were dreadful in the League Cup final, even though it was only 1-0 defeat to Man City. They've come back and won 4-0 against Sheffield United, who, as we know, are comfortably the worst team in the division. They've got individual quality. You've got Gareth Bale on form, Dele Alli back in the side, Jungmin Son, Harry Kane, lots of individual quality. But there's still a lack of intensity to the midfield a lot of the time. Even Sheffield United gave them a run in the early stages of the second half. Leeds at their best, I think their intensity could worry Spurs. I can see if Leeds' players are fit, a close game with lots of goal mouth action, that's what's going to feed into my tip here. I think there'll be quite a few goals. I'm going to take a pot shot at the 2-2 draw at 10-1. I think it's quite a big price. Tottenham's last two away games, they've had a 2-2 at Newcastle and a 2-2 at Everton. Maybe there'll be another 2-2 at Elland Road.
A correct score tip from Dan Childs. Jack, which way are you playing this?
Tottenham winning over 3.5 goals for me. Like Dan, I think there'll be quite a lot of goal mouth action. And like him, I don't really see the midfield being a battleground. I think it'll be a really open and exciting game. I think Ryan Mason, as we saw at times against Sheffield United, he's kind of taking the handbrake off almost in the opposite direction to what's happened under Jose Mourinho. Spurs, they've got obviously Leeds at the weekend, then Wolves and Aston Villa before finishing the season against Leicester. I think they've got a really good chance of finishing the season on a high. What happens to Ryan Mason this summer, obviously, we don't quite know, but I think they'll go at it at Elland Road and Spurs win over 3.5 goals for me.
There we go. I suspect this next game up isn't going to be the first on Match of the Day. Sheffield United against Crystal Palace. Sheffield United already down, Crystal Palace safe. With that being said, Johnny, where's the value?
We got 19-10 Sheffield United, 11-5 the draw and 6-4 Palace. For me, probably would be one that I would dodge in terms of a betting prospect. But if I had to pin my colours to the mast, I'd probably say Palace to win and maybe Zaha anytime. I think that's maybe will be my only angle in the game, in that Palace probably, Sheffield United look as though they're a down and out. And I think the body language against Tottenham last week wasn't particularly great. And they just struggled to reel and the blow against Spurs. and Palace potentially has something to prove. It depends what happens, obviously, with Roy Hodgson's future there at the end of the season if he decides to stay on. And I think I'm just going to go for, if I had to pin my colours to the mast, I'd probably just go Palace winning Zaha anytime.
Yep, don't have to have a bet in every game. Dan, considering the Palace have played a game fewer than Sheffield United and are 21 points ahead of them, it seems a big price about the away side.
Yeah, and that's the way I would go, actually, Jack. I'd just take Crystal Palace to win the game. When they lost that game early April, 4-1 at home to Chelsea, they really did stink the place out, Palace. They were awful in that game, got absolutely battered. But after the little break of over 2 weeks, I thought again, Leicester, the 2-1, took the lead and made Leicester work really hard for that win. And they weren't so bad in the 2-0 loss home to Manchester City after that. So I do think, the break has probably done Palace a bit of good. They've got a bit of a fitter squad together now. And Sheffield United, as we've said, are such a poor side, largely outclassed by Spurs. I think they'll lose this game as well. Crystal Palace for me.
Yeah, they've. I would have thought, Jack, that Chris Wilder, the man he is, would have tried to get Sheffield United playing solely from a pride point of view, but their performances just haven't got any better, have they?
They've not got any better, but I actually fancy them to win this. On the evidence that when I've seen Crystal Palace this season, they've just been, well, Dan used the phrase, stunk the place out, and I don't think it gets much better than that. They've been really, really poor at times. Sheffield United, I thought they had a couple of moments against Spurs, but nothing too great. But, of course, they did beat Brighton in their last home game. I'll be honest, this is the game I've got the least notes for because I have written down in front of me, I don't hold out much hope. I don't think it's going to be a good game at all. Under 1.5 goals would be a potential tip, but I think Sheffield United at that price, good to take on.
Yeah, definitely. Manchester City against Chelsea on Saturday. Now, this is going to be a fascinating account because, of course, Dan, Manchester City and Chelsea will also be facing each other in the Champions League final. First of all, before we preview this Premier League game, what did you make of the two Champions League semi-finals?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty comfortable in the end, wasn't it, for both sides, which is strange to say that in the Champions League semi-final. Chelsea, I thought last night, you could see the first goal coming, had the goal disallowed, didn't they, for offside just before, hitting the front. And no, I mean, that solid defence that Tuchel's not brought in, but has managed to put together since he's taken over, has served them well. Manchester City, again, I mean, did the hard yards, I think, getting that lead from the first leg, saw it through. And I just think the two teams are quite well matched as well. They're going to be very familiar with each other, aren't they, by the time they clash in the Champions League final. I mean, the FA Cup semi-final where Chelsea got the better of Manchester City. We got this meeting in the league and then obviously the Champions League final. So they're going to be very very well known to each other. I think Chelsea, this game, even though City, it's a game to go and win the title, I think it's actually potentially a bigger game for Chelsea because they really do need points to seal this top four place. The end of the season for Chelsea, it could go one of two ways. They could win two cup competitions finishing the four. They could also win nothing and finish outside the top four. The huge, huge few weeks coming up for Chelsea. I do think they'll be very focused on this game. I think for Manchester City, reaching the Champions League final, it's almost been like an obsession, Pep Guardiola. You could see the relief after the game against PSG, and that might just feed into just, maybe a little bit of a dip in performance against Chelsea. Chelsea, we saw that they had the answer to Manchester City in the FA Cup semi-final. I think they might give them a tough game here as well. Chelsea or draw, double chance for me is the bet.
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating one, isn't it, Johnny? I mean, it seems a long while ago that, Chelsea fans, well, the majority of them, there was outrage that Frank Lampard had been given the boot and Tuchel had been brought in, but he's really worked his magic here.
Yeah, I think he has. He's been brilliant as Tuchel. I think he's been, he sorted out the defence. And he sort of instilled a lot of confidence in, and he sort of built it from the back in terms of having a solid foundations there. And I think Lampard's rotation was his undoing, really, and not having really a settled striker. And I think the more that Werner plays, and next season we're probably going to see a much better player. in him and probably Kai Havertz as well. And for this one, for me, you know, we've got City at 9-10, 12-5 the draw, and 16-5 Chelsea. Score and win has landed in the last sort of three Premier League meetings between the two teams. But given the fact that if City win this one, they can maybe rest up to a degree ahead of the Champions League final. So do they want to get this game done? And Chelsea, obviously, given the fact they need to finish in the top four and could end up trophyless at the end of the season, bizarrely, and outside the top four, as we just touched on. I think for me, I'm actually going to go at the price. I'm going to go for an away win and both teams to score. I just think Chelsea's pace on the break might cause Stones and Diaz some issues. And I just think, I just think Chelsea are very, very resolute at the moment and they look fairly solid at the back. And it should be a really good game. I'm really looking forward to it. But I'm going to be brave here and go for an away win and both teams to score.
Yeah, which way do you think it will go, Jack?
City win for me. I think, all things considered, I think after the semi-final defeat in the FA Cup to Chelsea, I think Pep Guardiola will be out for revenge. Win this one, they win the league. It's the ingredients there for them to be able to take their foot off the gas a bit heading into the Champions League. I think Guardiola will be desperate to get one over on Tuchel. That's the first time he'd lost to him at Wembley. Chelsea haven't won at the Etihad since 2016. City have got the best home record in the league, 12 wins from their 17 outings, which is pretty remarkable when you consider some of the other teams have slipped up big time on their own patch. I think it'd be a really, really good game, but I think it's going to be almost like a dress rehearsal for the big one on May the 29th. I think City will just about sneak home.
Liverpool, Southampton next up. This is the late game on the Saturday, 8:15 on Sky Sports. Of course, Liverpool didn't play last weekend due to fan protests at Old Trafford. They take on Southampton here, Johnny. The price is in your pick.
You've got Liverpool 1-4, 9-2 the draw, and 9-1 Southampton. I'm going to go Liverpool win to nil, and Ward-Prowse to be carded. I think he's had a fair few fouls in terms of second most in the Premier League this season. And for me, Southampton are lacking that cutting edge up front. There's no Danny Ings or Ryan Bertrand here for him. Obviously, in terms of the full attacking fullback wise, is a big miss in terms of his deliveries and set pieces. And Che Adams, to me, probably isn't going to be much feared as what Danny Ings is. And Southampton really rely on him. And for me, Liverpool, well, they've got their injury doubts. They're looking to finish the season strong. They've picked up a little bit of form. They've not lost in the last five matches. While they might not have been convincing, they probably want to start the ground running for next season and looking forward to that. And to me, Southampton dig in at Leicester to try and get the point. But I think Liverpool will be too strong. And I think the defensively should be sure enough to keep Southampton out here.
Dan, I know Southampton are in poor form, but four's on about Liverpool short, isn't it?
I think it's too short. Liverpool have won one Premier League home game this year, you know, 2-1 against Aston Villa. I mean, that is, you know, do you really want to be, you know, sticking them in your hackers, you know, bearing that in mind? I also don't think it's ideal that, you know, with a game being at Manchester United being postponed, it's a 2-week break now since they last played. Last game, they weren't particularly special, were they? The 1-1 against at home to Newcastle, not a great performance. It's really sort of, for the last four, you're getting towards last chance saloon really now for Liverpool. I think they're probably going to, you know, they'll be thinking they've got to win the last five games, I would suggest, to get in that top four. A lot of pressure on it for them. Southampton, they've been terrible this year, got even less points, I think, than Sheffield United in the calendar year. But I've watched, you know, the last couple of games, game at Spurs, I thought they absolutely dominated the first half, that 2-1 defeat at Spurs. Played really well until they kind of run out of steam. Then they played, I thought, defended magnificently in the game against Leicester when they were, you know, harshly went down to 10 men, played about 80 minutes of that game, I think, with 10 men at home to Leicester. Dug out a really hard-fought 1-1 draw. So there's plenty of spirit there and ability they've shown Southampton in the last couple of games. Just think the price was a little bit wrong. They got, you know, every chance of, maybe matching what Newcastle did at Anfield a couple of weeks ago. So Southampton will draw double chances the way I play at 13-5.
Oh, there we go. Dan Childs with the away side or the draw. Jack, you can have the final say.
Liverpool to zero for me with Mohamed Salah to score. I just think Southampton just lack that cutting edge. They've been awful on the road, lost eight of the last nine away as well. Liverpool, they are chasing Europe. I don't think top four is realistic, but top six is. I know they've been awful at Anfield, but they've won the last four games these two sides have played on Merseyside at aggregate of 10-0. I think that probably speaks volumes. I just don't see Southampton as the attacking force they were earlier in the campaign. Liverpool aren't great, but they're better than Southampton. I think Liverpool to zero in a bit of a mixed game.
Simple as that. Sunday and Monday's action still to come.
Create your own bet builder on a single match with Paddy Power, and if one leg lets you down, get money back as a free bet. Check out the Bet Builder tab and get building your bet. Paddy Power. Max free bet £10. Pre-match 4 plus legs only. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post. Jack Reeve joined with Dan Charles, Jack Ogilby and Johnny Smith this week. We've gone through Saturday's action and there's still lots more to come. Let's start with Wolves against Brighton on Sunday then. Johnny, two sides here who'll probably want to forget the majority of this season.
Yeah, I imagine so. I don't think this one will be a cracker either. We've got Wolves at 11-5, 9-4 the draw, and 5-4 Brighton. The last four meetings between these two teams have ended in a draw, and I can't really see that changing here. I think there'll probably be no goal scorers. Obviously, if you're no own goal, you still get paid out. For me, I think it could play out into a stalemate, end of season sort of feel to it. Wolves. Injury list is quite substantial as well, and it's proven this season they've missed Jimenez up front for me, and Maupay will be a threat for Brighton. I think he'll probably cause the Wolves defence some and ask them some questions, but I think this could end up being an end of season probably stalemate at the no goal scorer at 13-2 probably is the bet for me in the draw.
Yeah, I must say, Dan, when I was looking through the fixtures this week, this was the one that stood out to me and screamed draw. Did it to you?
I think it'll be a close game, but I think Wolves, 11-5 price about Wolves, I think it's just too attractive for me. Watched the game, the whole of the game against West Brom. I thought they were the better team against the West Brom side who have improved recently, and it was kind of last chance saloon for West Brom. They had to win, they didn't. Wolves were, the closer to winning that game. I was impressed with, I've had a few injuries, but it's allowed a few others, players to impress. Owen Ottosowi, I pronounce that right. He was the winger, looked really, really sharp and skillful for them, had a decent game. I thought Fabio Silva looked quite bright as well. He was given a rare start. His goal was a little bit lucky, kicked against him from the keeper and went in, but he deserved it for his performance. And if you look at the narrative around Wolves, it's so negative all the time, and around Brighton, they seem to be. You know, the market loves them, but Wolves are 5 points higher than Brighton in the table. Brighton, yes, last time they played well against Leeds, thoroughly deserved to win. Leeds, as was mentioned earlier, though, they were missing Calvin Phillips and Rafinha, who are such big players for them. So, maybe Brighton's performance, was more to do possibly with Leeds being weakened than Brighton being great. I think, no guarantees they'll follow up at Wolves. Wolves for me.
Yeah, I mean, Brighton have hit a bit of form in recent weeks, Jack, but still, for the vast majority of the season, they haven't been great, have they?
They're just so frustrating to watch. You look at the team, they've got usually a goalkeeper, five centre-halves and five number 10s and not much in the middle. Yves Bissouma is a very, very good player. I'm not quite sure he'll be staying at the Amex this summer, but I just don't understand how a team who carve out so many chances don't score any goals. I actually do fancy them to win this one, though, after beating Leeds 2-0 last weekend. Like the fellows have said, Leeds were probably the better side for long patches of it, but Brighton got the job done. Wolves, they just seem to be winding down. They've done well, I think, having lost Raul Jimenez. It could have had a real big effect on them, and it did for a while, but they've come round. Fabio Silva's shown signs of real potential, but there's no Pedro Neto, a few others out as well. I just fancy Brighton to win a really, really scrappy game. I'll go Brighton to nil. And if you're not keen on the clean sheet, I think Brighton are a very good price just to win outright.
Yeah, I must say, gents, you haven't sold me that game whatsoever. I think I'll just tuck into a Sunday roast or something instead. Aston Villa, Manchester United next up at 2:05 on Sunday on Sky Sports if you're wanting to tune in. Johnny, Manchester United, of course, with a game in Europe on Thursday evening. That's probably going to come into consideration with your pick, is it?
No, not really. I think they sort of did the job at Old Trafford in the Europa League last week, you know, with a 6-2 victory. We've got here Aston Villa at 7-2, 14-5 the draw, and 8-11 Man United. I'm going to go for an away win here and both teams to score. Aston Villa have conceded in all the last five matches. Man United will want to seal second place as quickly as they can, so they can then potentially focus on Europa League final, should they obviously keep the run going. And for me, if Villa are without Jack Grealish, it's a completely different team. It's a talisman for them this season. And I remember watching the reverse of this at Old Trafford, and it was an absolutely fantastic game. I think it finished 2-1 to United. And to me, I think Man U are going to have enough going forward, and particularly on the break here. And I don't think that really the Europa League is going to impact them massively. I think they want to get this one out of the way, try and get the Liverpool game done, and then they'll probably start to focus on the Europa League final, which they should inevitably qualify for.
Dan, it was a good win for Aston Villa last time out against Everton. Can they continue with winning ways here?
No, not for me. No, I think they are getting a bit better at playing without Jack Grealish. I mean, they've had to do it for a lot longer than they would have liked, and that was a decent result. Everton, as we know, have been really rotten at home for a large part of the season. So I'm not sure how much we can read into that. Undoubtedly, Villa will be a lot stronger when they get Grealish, you know, back in the side and fully fit. They've only won one of the last six matches at Villa Park the last time out. They needed an injury time goal to scrape a 2-2 draw at home to West Brom. So, I mean, it's not really filling you with any great confidence when they're coming up against Manchester United. I know Manchester United have got the midweek game, but as Johnny mentioned, that the hard yards were done with that 6-2 win at Old Trafford. They should be able to pretty much cruise through the game against Roma. And then, as was mentioned, I think they'll be looking to seal second place as soon as possible and focus on the Europa League final. I think they'll get a win at Villa Park this weekend.
A clean sweep of away wins for you, Jack?
Yeah, clean sweep of away wins. United to win, both teams to score. There's loads of angles, I think, in this game. Could there be a penalty? Bruno Fernandes scored the winner from the spot in the reverse fixture. Ollie Watkins, 13 league goals for the season. He scored against big teams as well. Arsenal and Liverpool come to mind, but United is so good on the road. 10 wins already, 0 defeats. United to win, both teams to score. I think it'll be a really entertaining game as well.
Next up, West Ham against Everton. And this is certainly a big one for the home side. Still within, a shot of getting in the top four, just 3 points from fourth place Chelsea. Johnny, the prices and your pick.
We've got West Ham at 13-10, 23-10 the draw, and 2-1 Everton. I'm going to go West Ham win and both teams to score. In five of the last six matches, both teams to score has clicked when matches involve West Ham, and to me, West Ham they've been really impressive this season. I think they've done a fantastic job as David Moyes. He's come under some unfair probably criticism from the fans in recent times. I think having the fans away from the Olympic Stadium has massively helped West Ham this season. I've no doubt about that. I think bringing in Lingard as well up front for that bit of a pace and support to Antonio has been brilliant. And Everton, for me, they've been a bit underwhelming. They had such a good start to the season, and it's just sort of fallen off a little bit for them. And to me, Rodriguez is sort of instrumental to their success and the way that and Richarlison, the way that Ancelotti likes to play. For me, I think West Ham have shown enough this season, and they really are going to want to finish in Europe. And, you know, they dug in against Burnley on Monday night. It was torrential conditions up there, up at Turf Moor. And they did well to get the win and hold on and keep them out. And to me, it just shows they've got the grip between the teeth to try and finish the job. So I'm going to go for West Ham win and both teams to score.
Yeah, it's petered out a little bit for Everton, hasn't it, Dan? Just one win in their last five. An opportunity for West Ham, you'd say.
I think it's a massive opportunity for West Ham. I think it's one of the biggest games West Ham have had in their recent history. I don't think I'm overplaying that. I think there's a a real big chance they could make the top four this season. I mean, I mentioned about the run-in for Chelsea and Leicester, how tough their run-ins were. You look at West Ham's run-in, and after this weekend, they go to Brighton and West Brom and then finish off at home to Southampton. Now, there's potentially a lot of points that they can gain there. You would think, they're going to be looking at it thinking four wins here and given the tough matches that the others have got, that should be enough for the top four. I watched, against Burnley, they looked to see Burnley away is not an easy game. They looked a seriously good side at Burnley. Fell behind, which is always tough when you go to Turf Moor and you go a goal down there. Not an easy team to break down. But they turned that game around, outclassed Burnley really for large parts of the game. 1-2-1, could have been more. And that's without, some key players who are on the way back. Declan Rice, they're saying, is, back in training and pushing to be, available for some of the final games. But they've had the likes of Lanzini and Benrahma and Fornals have come in. They all look good against Burnley. There's a lovely mix of the team. They've got the threat of Lingard and Antonio up front as well. They're solid at the back. Everton, on the other hand, as we mentioned, they're just flattered to deceive. That their last hope of making the top four went when they lost 2-1 against Aston Villa. Very, very, a little bit of a kind of so near and yet so far again for Everton. I think the final nail in the coffin will come at West Ham.
Jack, can West Ham deal with the nerves here?
I think it might have a bit to do with what happens the previous evening at the Etihad. But I think you look at their fixtures, there's real scope for them finishing the season with 12 points from the last four games, as Dan mentioned. I thought they were really, really good against Burnley. Manuel Lanzini looks a man reborn in this deeper position. It allows Suchet to go forward as well. Of course, Mikel Antonio, bit of a surprise that he started the other night, but he got his two goals and really he should have had a hat-trick. He missed two or three really good chances in the second half. Everton on paper, as we say every season, they look fantastic at times, but when it comes to doing things on the field, they just let you down every time. West Ham won the reverse fixture 1-0 through a Suchet goal. I don't think it'll be a classic, but West Ham have got the bit between the teeth. David Moyes will be desperate to get one over on his former side as well. There's a real top four opportunity here for the Hammers, and I think they're going to win.
Yeah, massive game for West Ham, that one. Thoroughly excited for it. Arsenal, West Brom up next, 7 o'clock on Sunday, live on BT Sport. Johnny, take it away.
For me, I'm going to go for the draw half time. Arsenal full time at 3-1 represents a little bit of value here. I think West Brom will have to dig in. It's the last chance saloon for them here. They need to win this game to stay up in the league. And they're all but down at West Brom, and they've got to try and show a little bit of fight, I suppose. And Arsenal, it's all dependent on the Villarreal game as to whether they'll be deflated or not from that. And confidence-wise, for me, they might, if they get beat, they might be slightly slower out of the traps against West Brom here. So it could be a bit of a cagey opening 45 minutes. But I think they will get the job done, and that probably represents a little bit of value to me, is a draw at half-time and Arsenal full-time.
Yeah, both sides won't be too chuffed with the way their seasons have gone down.
No, and I think for West Brom's point of view, I just think the last two, I was saying about them having a slight chance, in recent shows, but I think the last two games, when they conceded that late equaliser at Aston Villa, I think that was just a massive, massive blow for them to drop 2 points there. Then they play at home to Wolves, you think another great chance of getting a win. Draw the game 1-1, never really looked like, getting the winning goal towards the end of that game. And I just think that their race is run now, really, in the relegation battle. They have done better recently. They've only lost one of the last five games, West Brom, which in the context of their season is a decent run. But as I said, against Wolves, they just looked to... They finished that game looking like a beaten, relegated side. And I think you're going to see the after effects of this now at Arsenal. Arsenal's mood is going to depend on whether they get past Villarreal. But they have a strong squad as well. As we saw last weekend, they made a lot of changes at Newcastle. Still, strolled to a comfortable 2-0 win. I can see another easy win here against West Brom. And that follows into the tip. Arsenal, the win 2-0 for me at 11-8. Looks a good bet.
Are you going to play in a similar fashion, Jack?
Yeah, I'm going to go Arsenal, both teams to score. I think West Brom will perhaps get a goal from a set piece. But Big Sam's comments after the 1-0 against Wolves, you just seem pretty defeatist. It's strange, really, isn't it? You look at the record and they were pretty much almost out of the bottom three when he took over. They're now 10 points short of safety, but they're a far better side, I think, under Big Sam. He seems to have organised them. They were quite free-flowing under Slaven Bilic, but free-flowing also translates to being open at the back, doesn't it? So they're a lot more organised, but I just think the confidence would have been knocked out of them after that draw against Wolves. Arsenal, of course, got the big game this evening. I still, though, think, although they're probably going to make changes, they just have a bit too much quality. And, of course, if they do pick a few fringe players, a few of those will be looking to get into the team for the final if they go through tonight. I think Arsenal will be a team with a point to prove, and they'll just have too much for West Brom.
Yeah, a difficult season for West Brom. Monday, then, just the one game, and it's Fulham taking on Burnley. Johnny, take it away.
Yeah, we got Fulham at 23-20, 12-5 the draw, and 23-10 Burnley. Yeah, for me, a Burnley win here and under 2.5 goals probably looks the player. I think it's a six-pointer for Fulham. They'd really need to win this one if they are going to stay up. Looking at the running that they've got, you've got Southampton and Man United away, followed by Newcastle at home at the end of the season. I probably think there's just too much for Fulham to do now. And this is a must-win game for them. And it might actually play into Burnley's hands a little bit here if they can keep Fulham out. And the fitness of Chris Wood's a little bit of a doubt. I think he did pick up a knock on Monday evening. And for me, they've found some form of Burnley recently. And it's been weird this season that they've actually performed better on the road than they have at home. Whereas we come to know Turf Moor has sort of been Burnley's fortress. And Fulham, for me, probably do look down and out, unfortunately, if they fail to win this one. So I think at the prices, I think it'd be a cagey game. But I think Burnley winning under 2.5 goals probably represents the value.
Dan, it feels like we've been saying it's Fulham's last chance for the last 6 weeks now.
Yeah, and this is a chance I think they're going to take as well. I'm going to go for them to win this one. I don't think they're quite down and out yet. I mean, you look at the remaining games, the next two... they've got Burnley and then they've got Southampton. Now they're quite nice fixtures. You know, if you're hand picking fixtures at this stage of the season, you know, to give you a chance of winning, then those two are not far off it. Now the reason that's important is because if they can just pick up 6 points on Newcastle's the team I'm looking at. If they can gain 6 points on Newcastle, cut the gap to three. They actually go to Newcastle on the last day of the season, so it's not completely fanciful that they could still go into that game, you know, with a shot at it. So this really is the last chance for them. But I just think last performance hasn't been too bad. They got the draw at Arsenal where they were clinging on for a win, weren't they? And then conceded later. Played too bad in their nil defeat at Chelsea. Burnley, I just think they look leggy against West Ham, and that was their fourth defeat in five games. In amongst that, they had a 4-0 win at Wolves. That looks like a bit of an outlier, really, you know, in the context of their recent form. Fulham, like I say, I actually think they're probably a little bit of a better side this season. The times I've seen them, and their points tally suggests, I think this time, you know, they may get the breaks go their way and get the win.
It just feels, though, Jack, that, you know, we've said a lot on this podcast, and, you know, most people have said, oh, this is a great opportunity for Fulham. This is a great opportunity for Fulham every week. They haven't taken any of the opportunities. That will surely be in their minds going into this one, which is another good opportunity.
It is a fantastic opportunity. They just seem to just not have that extra bit of mental edge. They play some lovely football and then they fall foul to maybe a couple of individual errors. I really like Fulham. I really like watching them play. I think Ruben Loftus-Cheek is excellent. Lookman's very good as well. Andre Zambo and Greece is fantastic in the middle of the park. Joachim Andersen and Tosin Adarabayo are good at the back. They do have the ingredients to have a very, very good team, but it's almost if they're naive at times. This is a big, big game for them. I think Burnley are anything but naive. They were awful, I thought, against West Ham, but they were good last time out on the road. 4-0 winners at Wolves. So we mentioned there's a doubt over Chris Wood. Sean Dyche seemed quite confident he was going to play. 7 goals in his last 7 games. Chris Wood's score is actually going to be my tip for the match, but he had to go for an outcome. I think Burnley to win to 0. I just don't think Fulham have it at the moment.
That's all the Premier League games wrapped up then. Lots to play for going into the last few weeks of Premier League action. Of course, the EFL's down to its last weekend. With that being said, Dan, take us through your picks from elsewhere.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a game down in League 2. Stevenage, who had a really good second half of the season, fancy them to win away to Scunthorpe, who confirmed their survival last weekend. I mean, Stevenage, since the turn of the year, at the end of 2020, they were second from bottom. They've now, since then, they've risen to 15th. Had a really, really good run. Scunthorpe have been sort of struggling really all season, and they've limped over the line really with a 0-0 draw at Bradford last Saturday. That was their only point that they've taken in their last six games. Scunthorpe now have had no win in nine, no goal in their last four games. I think they're going to probably finish off as well with a defeat at home to Stevenage.
Jack, any other fancies from across the divisions?
Well, Bradford have been, they were my nap to get beaten last time I was on the show, and it's the same again. They're going up against Morecambe away from home. Morecambe fourth in the table, no win, could see them promoted automatically. They could overtake Cambridge or Bolton. Bradford's season's been over for a long time, it seems. No win in five. They've got this experiment going on with the joint managers. It seemed to get off to a good start, but it was almost a bit of a feel-good story in both the local and the national press. But since then, it's just not gone well at all. And Morecambe have got it all to play for. Bradford have got nothing to play for. Morecambe win.
And Johnny?
Yeah, for me, best bets this weekend would be Exeter to beat Barrow at home. Barrow won one in the last five games. Their main aim this season was to stay in the division. Exeter are trying to get back into the playoffs. Obviously, they'll need results to go their way in terms of Forest Green and potentially the Tranmere. But I think the 4-6, given the fact that they've actually got to go out and win this one, and Barrow's form as well isn't particularly great, I don't think, on the road. And then in terms of the Championship, I think Cardiff to beat Rotherham potentially. There might be slight overreaction in terms of Rotherham needing a result. And I think Cardiff probably represent a little bit of value in here. They haven't lost in the last five of Cardiff and probably will be difficult to beat at home. Even though Rotherham are fighting for their lives, Cardiff will still want to finish the season on the high for me. And then in the big shootout between Sheffield Wednesday and Derby, I would probably go for Derby away. The last weekend result wasn't great, but it's an improved performance from them. And it should be a very, very interesting game, that one, at Hillsborough. So, yeah, I'm going to go for a Derby win there.
Yeah, if people want something to stay across this weekend, Dan, the relegation battle in the Championship is really hotting up. Just talk us through the sort of ramifications there.
I'm just going to mention that game, actually, that Derby are at home to Sheffield Wednesday in that last game of the season there. But the Derby, if they win, they will survive. They'll be safe. Sheffield Wednesday, for them to survive, they need to win and hope that Rotherham don't win at Cardiff. If Rotherham can win at Cardiff, and that result will be enough for Rotherham, as long as the other game is either a draw or a Sheffield Wednesday win. Rotherham's goal difference is better than Sheffield Wednesday, and that would be enough for them.
Yeah, a few different results to stay across there, but it's going to be very exciting indeed. Time for the naps.
This will not be beaten.
If the panel were to have one bet each, which would it be? We'll get them put into a treble and enhanced on the Paddy Power website. Johnny, we'll start with you.
I'm going to go for Cheltenham to beat Harrogate Town. Cheltenham, the league to play for in League Two. Harrogate did play in the FA Trophy final during the week on Monday, so I can imagine they probably celebrated after winning that one. And for me, probably they represent a little bit of value to Cheltenham. They were 8-11 around on Monday, and they're now into 8-15 to win this one. So I think for me, Cheltenham to beat Harrogate probably is the nap for me this week.
Dan?
I'm going to go for, in the Championship, Bournemouth to win at home to Stoke. Now, as we know, the Championship playoffs, we know the teams that are going to be in it. You've got Brentford, Swansea, Bournemouth and Barnsley are going to be the quartet. But I don't think anyone is going to... Brentford are going to finish third. I don't think anyone's going to want to play Brentford, especially Bournemouth won't, because Bournemouth lost 1-0 at home to Brentford recently. And Brentford had 10 men for a portion of that game and still outclassed Bournemouth. So the last thing Bournemouth are going to want is to play Brentford over two legs in the playoffs. To avoid that, they need to win at home to Stoke. So I expect Jonathan Woodgate to select a very strong team, a lot stronger than the team he picked last weekend when Bournemouth lost 1-0 away to Wickham. I mean, if he picks his strongest team, which I expect, I think Stoke are going to have a really tough task coping. Got terrible injury problems I've had this season. They got even worse last week when Nick Powell, their top scorer, hobbled off injured in their 2-0 defeat at home to QPR. It's been a season to forget, really. So no win in their last six games. Forrest Campbell, who was scoring lots of goals from early in the season, he's been a long-term absentee. Joe Allen, another key player that's been missing. James McLean, another. They've just been absolutely decimated. And I don't think there's going to be a happy end to the season for them. Bournemouth for me.
There we go. And Jack?
The same as my earlier pick. Morecambe to beat Bradford. I know the price won't be massive, but Bradford just look there for the taking. Morecambe have got it all to play for at home as well. I think they'll really fancy it and we'll get the job done.
Absolutely. Three EFL picks this weekend then. Bournemouth, Morecambe and Cheltenham. That's the NAP treble and will be enhanced on the Paddy Power website. That's it for this week. Thanks to Dan, Jack and Johnny for all of their insight. As always, there's been lots of selections put up. Please don't feel like you have to back each and every one. Do gamble responsibly and bet within your means. We'll see you next week for another football podcast. But until then, stay safe and enjoy. Bye-bye.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.